Welcome back. In this lesson, we're building something that feels less like a sound effect and more like a moving piece of rhythm. We're calling it the Heatwave Impact Stretch System, and the whole idea is simple but powerful. Take one short impact, stretch it, warp it, and shape it until it becomes a momentum layer that pulls a roller forward. This is especially useful in old-school jungle and timeless DnB, because those styles live on flow. You don't just want a big whoosh into the drop. You want pressure. You want movement that feels musical, tuned, and a little bit unruly, like tape bending under heat. So instead of starting with a giant cinematic riser, we're going to build a reusable transition instrument from a single sampled hit inside Ableton Live 12. First, choose your source carefully. This matters more than people think. You want a sample with character and a clear transient, but it should also have a little texture in the tail. A rimshot impact works great. A metal clang. A short reversed break hit. A snare with room tone. Even a vinyl crackle burst can work if it has enough shape. The mistake here is grabbing something too polished or too huge. If the sample already sounds like a finished trailer hit, it'll fight the groove. For this technique, short and gritty usually wins. Drag the sample into simpler on a MIDI track. If you want tighter control, use classic mode. If the sample already behaves nicely, one shot is fine too. Before you do any big processing, listen to the raw transient and decide whether the front edge is too sharp. If it is, trim the sample start by a few milliseconds so you're shaping the energy instead of just blasting the click. Now comes the stretch engine. This is where the heatwave feeling starts to appear. Turn warp on if the source needs time manipulation. For this style, the two most useful warp directions are Texture and Complex Pro. Texture gives you grainy, unstable smearing. Complex Pro is smoother and more tonal. For jungle and old-school DnB, I'd usually start with texture, because a little instability makes the impact feel more alive. Set the grain size somewhere around 20 to 45, and keep flux fairly moderate, around 10 to 35. If you want it darker or more haunted, experiment with transposition a little below the source pitch. If you want it to feel like it's leaning forward, push it up a few semitones. Don't overdo it. We're not making a synth patch. We're stretching a hit until it behaves like a moving atmospheric event. The important concept here is that the transient becomes a bridge in time. In a roller, where the drum loop is repeating and hypnotic, that bridge keeps the ear engaged without needing a giant fill every few bars. Next, turn this into a playable system. Put the sampler inside a drum rack and build three layers from the same source. One pad is your dry impact, one is your stretched heatwave layer, and one is your noise or filtered tail layer. This separation is key. A lot of people try to force everything into one chain, and then the sound gets muddy or too obvious. Instead, give each layer a job. The dry pad gives you attack. The stretch layer gives you motion. The tail layer gives you atmosphere. Keep the chain balanced so none of them dominate. The dry hit should still read clearly, but it doesn't need to be loud. The smear layer should sit behind the drums, not in front of them. And the tail layer should feel like a ghost of the sound, not a second main event. For the stretch layer, build a simple but effective device chain. Start with EQ8. High-pass it so the low end gets out of the way. In most cases, somewhere between 180 and 350 Hz is a good starting range, depending on how heavy the source is. Then add saturator with a little drive and soft clip-on. That helps the tail feel denser, a little more tape-worn, a little more old machine than pristine plugin. After that, use auto-filter. A low pass around 4 to 8 kHz can darken the smear nicely, or use a band pass if you want it to feel more focused and nasal in the mid-range. Then add echo. Keep the timing musical, maybe 1/8, dotted 1/8, or 1/4, and don't let the feedback get out of hand. You want a halo, not a repeated distraction. Finish with reverb for space and utility at the end so you can control width. That width control is important. In DnB, the low end needs a clean lane, so keep the low mid centered, and only widen the upper smear if the mix can handle it. If the effect starts collapsing in mono, pull back on the width and let filter movement do more of the work. Now we move from static processing to motion. This is where the patch stops sounding like a sample and starts sounding like a system. Automate your filter cutoff over 1 or 2 bars. Open it into the hit, then close it slightly as the tail stretches. Automate reverb dry slash wet so it blooms on the impact and falls away before the next snare. Nudge the echo feedback up briefly, then back down. Add a little saturation drive at the start if you want the transient to punch through, then reduce it so the tail stays clear. You can also widen the smear just on the tail, not on the whole sound. That's a really useful mindset. Let the sound evolve over the phrase. A slow brightness rise during the last half of an 8-bar section can create a lot of anticipation. Then, right before the drop re-entry, cut the tail hard. That sudden cleanliness makes the next kick and snare hit much harder. If you want this to be performance ready, map the key parameters to macro controls in drum rack. A good setup would be grain or stretch amount on one macro, filter cutoff on another, reverb wet, echo feedback, width, and saturator drive. Once those are mapped, you can ride the transition live or automate it with much more control. At this point, if the layer feels right, resample it. This is where advanced DNB workflow really starts to move fast. Record 1 to 4 bars of the processed output onto a new audio track. Now you have a committed audio result you can warp, slice, reverse, or rechop. This is a huge jungle trick, because once the smear is printed, you can turn it into a fill, a ghost lead-in, a reverse pickup, or a chopped rhythmic bridge. If you're working around 174 BPM, try resampling a 2-bar swell, then slicing the most interesting transients into 1/8 or 1/16 fragments. Those little fragments can become a bridge into the next section. Suddenly, your transition isn't just a transition anymore. It's a playable rhythmic phrase. This is also where the old-school influence really comes through. The goal is not to make one perfect effect. The goal is to make material you can manipulate like tape. Now think about arrangement. Don't place the stretch layer randomly every 4 bars. Use it where the phrase needs lift. Good spots include the last beat of bar 4 before the snare pattern resets, the gap after a break edit, the end of an 8-bar bass phrase, or a 2-beat pickup into a new drop layer. A really effective arrangement move is to let the smear answer the snare instead of just landing on the downbeat. That makes the momentum feel conversational, which is perfect for jungle-leaning DNB. It's not just here comes the drop. It's here's the next phrase starting to talk back. Keep checking the relationship with the drums and bass. If the smear is crowding the kick or masking the sub, it's too much. High pass it harder. Shorten the echo. Darken the reverb. Make room for the bass line to stay dominant. In a good roller, the transition supports the groove. It never replaces it. If you want to push the sound toward a rougher jungle texture, layer in a tiny amount of break noise or vinyl grit behind the smeared impact. Keep it subtle. A chopped amen room hit, a ghost break slice, or a low-level crackle can make the whole thing feel more alive and more rooted in that era. You can also set up a parallel return with very low grain delay, a short dark reverb, and a cue that cuts the lows and harsh highs. Send only the stretch layer into that return during the second half of the phrase. That creates a kind of heat haze at the back of the room. It's a small detail, but it really works for darker rollers. A few common mistakes to avoid here. Don't let the stretch layer carry too much low end. That's probably the biggest one. Don't drown the main transient in reverb. Keep the dry hit focused and let the tail live in its own space. Don't overwiden the whole effect, because the mono compatibility can fall apart fast. And don't build this as a one-off throwaway effect. Map the controls, resample your best version, and make it reusable. Also, always think about context. The same stretch hit can feel amazing before an 8-bar drop, but weak if you throw it into a busy section with no space around it. Contrast matters. A transition feels bigger when the bars around it are simpler. Here's a great way to practice. Make 3 versions of the system from one source. First, make a clean roller transition. Use a rimshot or short snare. High pass it. Add mild saturation, and automate a gentle filter rise over 2 bars. Second, make a jungle warp version. Use a chopped break hit. Set warp to texture, increase the instability, add a short echo, and resample it. Third, make a darker, more aggressive smear. Use a noise burst or metal hit, add heavier saturation, narrow the midrange, and use a short reverb with low wet. Then resample and slice it into fragments. Place each one in a different part of a mock arrangement. One before an 8-bar drop. One between break edits. One during a bass line switch up. Then listen carefully, not just for loudness, but for how each one changes the sense of momentum. If you get this right, the effect will feel like a living transition rather than a flashy audio trick. That's the target. So remember the core idea. Choose a source with character. Stretch it tastefully in simpler. Separate dry attack from smeared tail. Keep the low end clean. Automate movement instead of relying on static effects. Resample and rechop when it starts feeling musical. Do that, and one hit becomes a momentum tool that can carry a roller through time with serious style. Alright, let's move on and build it in the session.